the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're in Washington, D.C., on Capitol Hill, and we ran into the Honorable Deb Fisher, who represents the great state of Nebraska. So great to see you.
Oh, good to see you, Tony. Thanks for coming back.
Well, let's first start with things back home in Nebraska. When you look across the state, east to west, what are you seeing?
It's been a tough year. You know, we've seen a lot of drought across the state this year. Rains have been spotty. So while prices have been good, you know, the yields have been shorter than usual. Pastures are a little short. Meadow hay, a little short. But people, you know, if you're in agriculture, people are always optimistic. It'll be better next year. You know, I'm a cattle rancher. Our family has a cattle ranch in the Sand Hills of Nebraska. And you're in it for the long haul. It's a generational ranch. Two of our sons are on it now. And it's important to keep in mind that there's going to be cycles. There's going to be good times, bad times. Weather's always iffy. But it's a wonderful way of life, and that's how Nebraskans feel. You know, there's some tough times right now, but there's always hope on the horizon, and it's a good place to raise your family.
Let's stick with the cattle theme, if you will, and you've had a livestock bill, a cattle bill. Where are we on that?
Yeah, I have a Cattle Market Transparency and Reform Act that we've been able to have Republicans and Democrats on. We have 11 Republicans, 10 Democrats. It's really to help the farmers and ranchers, every segment of the beef industry, be able to have information that they need to make good decisions. In Nebraska, we are the beef state. I know you're from Texas. We go back and forth on trading cattle on feed. But in Nebraska, we have cow-calf, we have backgrounders, we have large and small feedlots, and we have three of the four big packers. I want every segment of that industry to succeed because it's so important to the economy of the state of Nebraska. It is the economic engine of the state of Nebraska. But it's only going to be successful if we make sure that everybody has information so they can make those decisions, good market decisions. And so this has been a work in progress for maybe 3 or 4 years. We were able to get it out of the Ag Committee on a voice vote. Now we're waiting to get some time on the floor. That's up to, obviously, Leader Schumer here at the end of the year. Uphill fight to get that time. But Senator Tester, who is a strong co-sponsor of the bill, he's working with Senator Schumer, and hopefully might get that done. But, it's going to take some floor time to do it.
Let's talk about another crop that's important to Nebraska, and that's corn. And obviously, there's a lot of feeding of corn there in Nebraska, but we also rely on exports to Mexico. What's happening there?
Oh, yeah, that is another trial that's out there for producers. Nebraska is a huge exporter of white corn, especially to Mexico. The Mexican president made an announcement that by 2024, Mexico was not going to be taking any more imports of GMO corn. Well, that's 90% of the corn grown here in the United States. That would have a horrible impact on Nebraska farmers and farmers all across this country. So we continue to say, let's make decisions based on science, not politics. Make those decisions based on science. We all know that GMOs are helpful. There's no harm in them. They occur naturally in many cases. And so to have this uncertainty, again, thrown out on producers who are trying to make plans for the future, change their entire operation in some cases, it's very, very difficult. I've had conversations with Ambassador Tai on this. She has been in contact with her counterpart in the Mexican government, worked with Secretary Vilsack as well. And so hopefully they're going to be able to negotiate and get information. I think the information part is extremely important to the Mexican government on, first of all, the safety of the exports that we send to them, but also be aware of the science, you know the science and make your decisions based on that. So that's something, obviously, yeah, we're gonna be really, really focused on that.
So since we're talking corn, let's talk ethanol for a moment. And speaking of science, the science said E15 was good. Year-round E15, and we get that announcement, but then suddenly we step back. So where are we on the idea of E15 year-round?
Well, I've led on E15 year-round. I think that's an important part of our energy policy here in the United States. It's certainly important to my state of Nebraska. And right now, we have a good working partnership with the American Petroleum Institute, who are supportive of E15 sales year-round. We are working on language, on legislation, to make sure that that we continue with that support. And we'll be ready to go, maybe to get something out here just at the end of the year to have it available so that individuals and groups can look it over as a piece of legislation. But when you have petroleum and corn come together, that is a huge accomplishment. It's a big step. And so I'm looking forward to working with these folks because they also understand the importance of all of the above energy policy. You know, I support oil. I support coal. I support nuclear. I am a firm believer in all of the above. And we need to work together. We need to support the different segments of the energy industry because we're seeing attacks from government, the current administration, and if we are going to truly survive as a strong energy industry in the United States, we better work together.
We have seen disasters pretty much nationwide at this point, whether we're talking about floods and, you know, just think back not too long ago, Omaha. So we've seen too much rain. We've seen not enough rain. Mm-hmm. Is disaster something that just pretty much stays on the radar?
Oh, always. You know, you can't ignore Mother Nature. That's a huge part of agriculture. That's part of the risk that's involved for any agriculture producer is dealing with Mother Nature, dealing with weather. I'm working with Senator Lujan from New Mexico on a disaster bill to be able to expedite the payments, the disaster payments, to people in agriculture when something happens, especially like wildfires. New Mexico went through a lot of fires. We had fires in Nebraska again as well. And those who suffer from that, to be able to get them their payments sooner is going to be a really important way to help them recover.
Looking down the road, and we've talked about some of the challenges here, but as you look down the road into 2023, the next session, are you optimistic?
Oh, you have to be optimistic. You couldn't do this job if you weren't optimistic. And as I said, I'm a cattle rancher. You couldn't be in agriculture if you weren't optimistic. When we look at the farm programs, for example, the Farm Bill, that's coming up in the next 2 years, and to be able to work together in the Ag Committee on that bill, that's a good example of bipartisanship here in the United States Senate. And so I try to be positive about that and let people know that there are still things we can work on together. I'm on the Armed Services Committee. That's another committee where we can work together to provide for our men and women in uniform and give them the resources that they need. But when we look at the Farm Bill, there's some good programs that are in there. One that I will continually fight for is crop insurance. That is the number one priority of my ag producers. They want to make sure that that program is stable and that it is solid and it's secure. Another thing we need to look at that I'm very excited about is precision agriculture. You know, that's something that we've been working on for a long time as well. I'm on the Commerce Committee. We deal a lot with technology, and to be able to look at the Internet of Things and how interconnected everything can be, well, that's precision ag. That's the tractor that's out there being able to identify moisture in a soil type, if there's insects in the soil, that type of thing, in a feedlot. It can track cattle in a feedlot to know if they're sick in any way, if they're on their feed the way they're supposed to be. But in order to do that, you have to have broadband. You have to have that connectivity. So I'm a huge proponent of that infrastructure and broadband. But it's expensive also to do it. So I have a bill, the Precision Ag Loan Bill, which will help hopefully smaller ranchers, smaller farmers, be able to access a loan through that bill, access a loan so they can afford the equipment that they can access then the wonderful technology that's out there. It will help them to be more efficient. It'll help them to hopefully be more profitable, and that's only good for people in agriculture.
It's so good to see you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Wish you the best going into the next session as well.
Thank you very much. Great to see you.
Again, it's the Honorable Deb Fisher from Nebraska. She's a member of the Senate Ag Committee and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.